when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello and welcome in, everyone, to the Saturday, November 4th, 2023 edition of the Blood River Radio program. My name is Rand Owens. I'm going to be sitting in for our brother Eddie Miller today while Eddie is actually in New York City getting ready to run the New York Marathon tomorrow, November the 5th. And on that note, I'd like to ask everyone to let's keep Brother Eddie in our thoughts and prayers as he participates in that marathon tomorrow, and also in his travels back home, that he gets back safe and sound. But before we go any further, we got a good show lined up for you, a good program lined up for you this afternoon. But before we go any further, as we always say on here, we are a Christian program, and we're going to go to one of our guests, Michael Tubbs, and we're going to ask him to lead us in a word of prayer. If you will, go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, brother. Let's all who are listening please bow our heads before our God. Dear Heavenly Father, that we come to you now as sinners, we ask you not to forsake us. We ask you to cover us in the shed blood of your only begotten Son. Though our sins and the sins of our people may be as scarlet, wash them as white as lamb's wool, that we might be worthy of being called your servants and worthy of the blessings we receive and the blessings we ask of you today. Father, we ask you to strike the blinders from the eyes of our people, that they may understand the blessings that come from obedience to your perfect law, as well as the curses that flow from disobedience. Father, we ask you to purge from our land the dark cloud of sin that covers us in the forms of adultery and fornication, transgenderism, abortion, usury, and so many others, including the red stains of communism and socialism. As for our enemies, Father, who are also the enemies of Christ, we ask that you may make us your battle axe and weapons of war against the Antichrist forces. Yea, may you teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight, and may the prophecy of Obadiah 18 come to pass in our lifetimes. May the house of Jacob be as a flame and the house of Esau be as stubble. Let the enemies of Christ and Christ's sheep be utterly consumed in our wrath, that they may vex us no more. Let their name be blotted out forever. Do as we pray, O great Lord of hosts, in the most high and holy name of our conquering King and kinsman Redeemer, Yahshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother.
Normally at this time, Brother Eddie would go over the donors. I don't have any to name today. That's not saying that we didn't get any, but I'm pretty sure it's been a pretty stressful week for Eddie traveling to New York and getting ready to participate in that marathon. So I'm not going to be naming any donors today. I do have a couple of guests, maybe three. I'm not sure. I think Jason Robb, are you there, Jason?
Good to be on the show.
Yeah, good, good. What about your dad, Jason? Is he going to be able to join us?
I don't know. He had got back in a few days ago. I gave him a call, so I'm waiting to see if he's going to be able to come on or not.
Okay, good, good, good. Be great if he does. If he doesn't, we'll certainly pass along that we missed him. But
sure.
But my guest as of right now is Michael Tubbs and Jason Robb. And what we're going to be discussing today on the program is Christian identity. You know, Eddie and I have talked about this for a good while now at different times, and about making this a topic for discussion and giving it some time on the radio program. And he kindly hit me with it, and he just decided to go ahead and maybe let me sit in while he was gone, and that we could discuss Christian identity here today and give it some time, a good bit of time on the program. And hopefully, I just want to say that we're going to do our best. I know I speak for me, and I'm pretty sure I speak for Brother Jason and Michael, that we're going to let God do the talking here. And what we say here today, we're going to let Scripture back it up. If we have an opinion, we're going to let you know that that's our opinion. But otherwise, we hope to let God's Word do the talking about this subject today. So what I hope to do to start with is to get into the basics of CI, and I'm probably a Johnny-come-lately compared to these other two gentlemen that's on here with me today. And by the way, I do thank you both for joining me. Thank you very much. But I'm probably a Johnny-come-lately, but we're going to get into the basics and then maybe go a little bit more in depth as we go along and cover as much ground as possible, because you can get pretty in-depth with this topic. So to start with, if I may, I'm going to take a few minutes and kindly just go over some basic things just to kind of start us off, and then we'll let Michael and Jason come in and kind of take it from there. First thing, I think it's very important, especially in this generation, this time that we live in, to know who is who, so to speak, because there's a lot of confusion out there, and so many people are deceived about exactly who is who, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. But you know, I'm a student of Pastor Arnold Murray. Michael Tubbs knows that. I'm sure Brother Jason knows who Arnold Murray is. And that was kindly my awakening. I was raised in the Church of Christ. I was baptized in the Baptist Church. And I've been to all kinds, Assembly of Gods, all kinds. But I saw Pastor Murray on a television program late one night. And ever since that day, that changed me. It changed my way of thinking about things. And he just brings so much out of that scripture that I had never heard before, that just fell right into place and made so much sense to me. And it was simple. Not to say that I agree with every single thing that Pastor Murray taught. Of course, he's dead and gone. But to me, he was an excellent teacher. He went through that book line by line, precept by precept, explained things. He was a linguist. He knew Hebrew. He knew Greek. And I know Brother Tubbs, Michael Tubbs, has told me in the past that he loved Pastor Murray because he was great at saying something and actually not saying it. And I think that's probably how you remember saying that to me, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
But I think that's how he was able to stay on the air for so long. And I know we're going to get ready here in a minute to go to a break, but I just wanted to start off just with a couple of basic things. And like I say, I'm going to give most of this time to Michael and Jason in just a moment. But let's start at Genesis, because, you know, speaking of Pastor Murray, I heard him say, you know, studying and getting into God's words a lot like opening an old feed sack. You know, if you get that tab just right, you get that string just right, boy, you can zip that thing right open, clean, pull your feed. But if you go about it the wrong way, you wind up gouging it, tearing it, and it can kind of get into a kind of a mess, so to speak. But anyway, we're going to do our best here today. We're going to talk about, go to Genesis in the beginning. And let's talk a little bit about Adam and Eve. And I first want to start off about Adam, Adam. Adam, number 19 in the Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew, means to show blood in the face, flush, or to turn rosy. Number 20, taken from 119 in the Strong's, says ruddy. So let's just ask ourselves and be thinking about as we go through this, what peoples does that fit? Just think about that. What peoples does that fit? Next, I'd like to point out that nowhere in Genesis is the word apple mentioned, although that is commonly taught. The story of Eve taking a bite of the apple is commonly taught in most Sunday schools and has been for a very, very long time. So kind of the first thing we teach kids in Sunday school, you know, isn't true, because that what went on in that garden had nothing to do with an apple. And the story of Eve eating the apple, as well as Adam participating. So that wasn't what took place. So let's go to Genesis chapter. I hear the music. We'll come right back. I'll finish up, and we'll go straight to our guest. Be right back.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio program for Saturday, November the 4th of 2023. And today we're discussing Christian identity. And I talked a little bit about Adam and what that word Adam actually means in the Hebrew, and talked a little bit about the apple. And now, if I could, I want to read a couple verses from Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. And it reads, "But of the fruit of the tree," and by the way, tree, you know, you know, trees used a lot of times, I think, as body. You know, we call our limbs, our arms, limbs, so forth. So it says, the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I want to focus on that word touch, going back to the Strong's number 5060, that's 5060 Hebrew. That word is naga, and it means, among several things, it means to lie with a woman, not about biting an apple. So I just wanted to get that out there. And I'd like to point out, if you go back to when God spoke to them after they had participated, Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. The scripture said they actually sewed aprons to cover themselves. They weren't covering their mouth. They weren't putting a mask on. They was covering their bodies at that time. So, you know, God's word's pretty simple if you read it with meaning. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And in verse 31, God said it was very good. Now, if you go through this, that happened on the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, God rested. And then in chapter 2, God said, there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 7 says, Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Life here is everlasting life, because this would be the lineage that Christ would come through. And notice it says formed man here and not created, as it did in chapter 1 when it was talking about male and female. Now let's look quickly to chapter 4 of Genesis, and we're going to read just a couple of verses here in chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Got it? Conceived. And bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And in verse 2, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And I'm going to stop right there. Key word here is again. Key word here is again. If you go back and look this up in the Hebrew, it means to continue. It means to continue a thing or to conceive again. So what we've got here, we've got twins. And I think it's pretty evident it's going to be by two different fathers. Another thing that you can look at when we talk about Adam and Cain is that if you go to chapter 5 and Adam's genealogy, Cain is not there. Cain is not there. You can look through that and read it for yourself. Chapter 3, verse 13 said, the serpent beguiled me. He said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And then in chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, it says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And certainly they bruised our Savior's heel when they hung him on the cross. 16 says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow and their conception. There that word is again, conception. So, and just a couple more verses. You go to the New Testament, 1 John 3:12, and it reads, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear least by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And the word beguile, you can look it up in the Strong's for yourself. It means to wholly seduce. And, of course, verses that we've visited here many times on this program is 844, Christ speaking to the mob that he was there speaking to. I call them imposters. He says, you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and we all know who the first murderer was. Now, with that, Michael, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you comment on that or take it, whatever you got on your mind about the subject of Christian identity, brother. You go ahead.
Well, sir, you covered so much there that we could spend hours just on one verse. But first of all, let me say, I am not an ordained minister, a preacher, or pastor. I'm just a common man who studied the word. But, you know, we got ministers in the pulpits who are still telling the story of Eve eating an apple. These people were raised in the milk of the word and never got around to the meat. And, you know, this is how we teach children these Bible stories. We teach them using language that's acceptable for children. And as adults, we continue to use a child's language to try to understand what's going on. And it's really an adult story, as you said. You know, we know Eve did not eat an apple. We know that the language for eat also means to touch or to lie with sexually. But it's difficult for a lot of our people to come around to this understanding because, well, their mom and dad told them it was an apple and their preacher told them it was an apple and that's good enough for them. But you lose so much of the truth unless you possess a strong concordance and you go word by word and understand in the Hebrew what this story is really all about. It's an amazing story and it changes everything. And Christian identity changed everything for me. And it's something I'd like to say, that there's a lot of arguments even amongst the followers of Christian identity as to a number of these stories about what really happened here and there. But, you know, the fundamental truth of Christian identity is exactly what the name implies. It identifies modern Christians for who they really are for thousands of years, and that they are the sons and daughters of Jacob Israel. And, you know, once you learn that and you learn your identity and you learn the responsibility that goes along with that, it changes your entire life. You never look at everything around you in the same way. It changes the way you view religion, race, economics, politics, everything. Nothing is left untouched once you know that truth, and it's impossible for you to close your eyes ever again. Learning that truth hit me pretty hard, and I can never go back to the blindness that was with me for many of my years prior to that.
Yeah, me neither. I could never go back. Like I said earlier, I most of this stuff I'd never heard of before, and I'd been in churches all my life practically until I got, you know, to the age that my grandmama and my mama couldn't, you know, make me go with them no more. And then I kind of went off on my own to different places and got baptized and such as that, like I said, in the Baptist church. But Jason, you want to comment on that?
Sure. And I agree with everything you guys are saying. There's no question about that. I will say I was fortunate enough that I was born and raised in Christian identity and knowing who we were. You know, I've always loved to hear the stories of people that received the truth, you know, like you two, you know, many years ago, received the truth and start understanding, you know, our racial connection to the covenant people in the Bible, the Israelites. And fortunately, I was raised and born in, you know, my father is Pastor Thomas Robb, and my mom, Muriel. They are Christian identity pastors for over 50 years. My dad has. We have a Christian.
Sorry,
I hear the music, so I'll stop here and continue on next.
As soon as we come back, we'll go right back to you, Jeff. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The White House is not endorsing a general ceasefire in the conflict between Israel and Hamas.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre emphasizing that message to reporters on Friday.
Now is not the time for a permanent ceasefire. We've been very clear. It would benefit Hamas, giving them time to regroup and plot a new attack. Or new attacks.
The Biden administration is, however, advocating for temporary humanitarian pauses in the fighting to facilitate the delivery of aid into Gaza and the release of hostages. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he will not consider a pause in the fighting in Gaza unless Hamas releases the more than 200 hostages it currently holds captive. I'm John Schaefer.
Recent maps provide insight into the regions that will experience the heaviest snowfall this winter. Researchers at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have updated data on the areas most affected by El Nino, a natural weather pattern in the tropical Pacific. This encompasses the mid-Atlantic, elevated areas in the southwest in California, as well as the southern United States. President Biden is expressing his condolences for the victims of last month's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Accompanied by the First Lady, he paid a visit to the memorial near the restaurant where the tragedy occurred.
This tragedy opens a painful, painful wound all across the country. Too many Americans have lost loved ones or survived the trauma of gun violence.
They met with first responders, healthcare providers, and some of the families. 18 were killed and 13 injured. Americans are preparing for the end of daylight saving time this weekend. On Sunday, clocks in most states across the U.S. will be set back 1 hour. While not everyone is pleased with this change, efforts to eliminate the time change through legislation in Congress have yet to make progress. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on, your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant! And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins, are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Buy machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Welcome back, dear people. My name is Grant Owens. You're listening to the Bud River Radio program. I'm Eddie Miller today. And I'm joined by Jason Robb, who's an attorney in Harrison, Arkansas, and Michael Tubbs, a longtime fellow league man and leader in the league. And I'm fortunate to have both of these, honored, actually, to be on the line with both of these gentlemen today. And without further ado, we're going to go straight back to Jason and let him continue as he was telling us a little bit about his background and that he was actually raised in the Christian identity belief. But anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Sure. Sure. So as I was saying before the break, my father is a Christian identity pastor, been a pastor over 50 years. He was ordained as a pastor by Kenneth Goff, who was a Christian identity minister out in California. And so, you know, we've been raised this way from the standpoint of knowing who we are. We have church here every Sunday in the Ozarks, a Christian identity church, and there's several around. But what people need to, I think, realize, if they're maybe listening to the show, you know, maybe the first time, or they kind of heard Christian identity, is sometimes people think Christian identity is like a different religion from the standpoint. and not really truly understand that Christian identity, but the basic of that is that we are all Christians, but Christian identity goes into further than that, that it's dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. And if everyone has, I'm sure, has read the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 17, 1 through 7, it talks about how God touched Abraham, not touched, but actually talked to him and gave him a covenant. It was a special covenant, and it says it was going to be an everlasting covenant between him and all his descendants. And so if a person doesn't recognize what the Abrahamic covenant was, it's dealing with a specific people. And that is what Christian identity really is at the heart, in my opinion. And, of course, there's other opinions out there. But really, it's really the study of who we are, our people, identifying us as those people in the Bible, the covenant people, the Israelites. And so when God made this covenant with Abraham and said that I'm going to make a covenant with you and all your descendants, that's the covenant that goes all the way down to us as of today. And it's to recognize that we are those same people. It's really a study and an acknowledgement that we are same racially the same people in the Bible, that those that we see over on TV right now of Israel, they have no racial connection to those in the Bible. And so it's a study and acknowledgement that we are those same people. We are the 10 tribes that Jesus went out and said we are only going out to the lost tribes of Israel. And James talks about in the Bible that this was for the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And so it's really just a recognition and an understanding of that Abrahamic covenant. If a person doesn't understand the Abrahamic covenant, then they truly can't understand the Bible, because every word, every period, every comma, every sentence, every book, every chapter in the Bible is dealing with one people, and that's Israel. And when we look at who Israel is and we study the Bible, the migration route of Israelites into Europe, and understanding that the Europe are those descendants of the original Israel people, that we are the lost 10 tribes of Israel. When you understand that, then it really does open the Bible into really a further knowledge of knowing who we really are and how particular and peculiar, as the Bible says we are, which means special. And so that is something that all that is. And so a lot of people will say, well, I have to change my religion from the standpoint of being a Baptist or being a Methodist or being a Presbyterian. And so Christian identity doesn't mean that you're now a particular type of religion as far as Christianity. There are people that believe in Christian identity that are all those different factors. But really the heart of that Christian identity is knowing and accepting of who we are of those in the Bible. And that's why the enemy does not like people to be able to study that, because once people understand who we truly are, then the game is over for these imposters out there.
Yeah. And Jason, just a question here. What would you say to those that would say all that doesn't matter, that was done away with when Christ died on the cross? For instance, Brother Eddie, he's one of them, and I don't mind saying it on the program, because he's made it very clear on this program, because he doesn't think any of that matters. What would you say to those folks, Jason?
Well, you know, a lot of times, and maybe I'm going to answer a question, maybe not, but I will say this, that a lot of times you hear people say that, you know, we have the Old Testament, we got the New Testament, and the New Testament now is for everybody. And that's just not true. If you look at, read Hebrews 8, I believe it's 6 through 12, specifically it says, the Lord says, I'm making a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He's very, very specific regarding this new covenant. And people always, you know, you'll see, hear all the time people say, I'm a new covenant Christian. Well, if you're a new covenant Christian and you believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible is very specific that the new covenant was only with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's with a specific people, a specific race. And that goes back to the Abrahamic covenant from the standpoint that God made a specific covenant with a specific people. Not with everybody, with a specific people, a racial people. And that is why you know, you had alluded from, you know, Genesis, I believe, 5, and it talks about the Bible says that this is the book of the generation of Adam. That is a generation of Adam, but we believe is the white race, the Caucasian people. That is the original Adam and Eve was to a particular people, our people. The other races are pre-Adamic. And I know that's kind of mind-blowing to a lot of people, but if you want to just, if people out there want to focus on just the Abrahamic covenant dealing with a particular people, and if you understand that the Old Covenant or the Old Testament is the exact same as the New Testament because it was only for a specific people. And so that is why when people say, well, no, I'm a New Covenant, you know, Christian, that it's just for all these Gentiles out there, and people get confused on that because Gentiles, if you look at our Gentiles, it just means nations. It doesn't mean other racial people. It just means nations. And so that is what the study is, and that's why it's very, very important that really people understand how important it is to really understand the Bible and understand that this is a racial book. It's not just a book that is for everybody. It is a specific racial book. My dad will say a lot of times, it's like a person writing a will out and saying, when I die, you know, my inheritance is going to go to John and Jim. And so the will gets lost, and some guy off the street finds this will and says, oh, this will is just for me. Well, no. That will is very specifically to those two people, John and Jim. And so it's the exact same thing as the Bible. The Abrahamic covenant and everything related to that Bible is for a particular racial people. And so that is why it's so really important to understand who we are and our racial connection to the Israelites in the Bible. And again, that is why the so-called Jews you see, you know, on TV and the Hollywood trash shows and stuff like that, they do not want even the discussion or debate regarding this because they don't want white people to start understanding of who they are, who their racial connection brothers and sisters are in the Bible.
I agree 100%. And you know, most and most all mainstream churches, they want to lump everybody together. They want to lump the house of Judah in with the house of Israel, and it was actually two separate sticks there.
I think I hear the music.
Yeah, time's flying, y'all. Just hang in there. We'll be right back. We're going to our third break, first hour.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Some boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. My name's Rand Owens. You're listening to the Blood River Radio program. I'm joined by Jason Robb and Michael Tubbs. Long time members of this battle against global white genocide in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And I had asked the question about why does all this identity stuff matter to Jason? And I wanted to give Brother Michael a chance to comment on that if he'd like. You want to comment on that, Michael?
Well, it is certainly difficult to follow in the wake of Brother Jason there, someone who was raised in Christian identity since birth. But I would give it my best shot. Throughout this conversation, it reminds me of how the average Christian believes that their God sent Jesus Christ to save the people that they call Jews, and those people today who are called Jews rejected him. And therefore God somehow changed his covenant to include everybody on the planet, even though there's no Bible evidence to back any of this up. And it just makes me think how stupid is their God? How short-sighted is their God to have sent his only begotten son into this world to be executed for an ungrateful people who never recognized him? Did he not see that coming? What kind of God are these people worshiping? It's certainly not the God that people who follow Christian identity understand. It's some alien false God with no foresight. It just seems like it's such a ridiculous story, but so many of our people believe that. Where do I even start? I mean, we've covered so much, it's difficult.
Well, it is. It's a lot. You brought up the word Jew. That's one thing I wanted to talk about, because we use that word often here on this program. But to me, that word is painted, for lack of a better way to put it, it paints people with a broad brush right there. Because you can read throughout the Bible. And for example, in Acts 16:20, refers to Paul and Silas as Jews. Well, in Romans 11:1, it plainly says that Paul's an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, and he's referred to a Jew there simply because he lived in Judea, at least for a while. It would be no different than somebody calling, you know, if I moved to Mississippi and lived there 3 or 4 years, people in Mississippi, they would, you know, if it come down to it, they'd say, well, Rand's a Mississippian, or he's from Mississippi, when really I'm from Alabama. So,
right.
But, so what, and it brings me to another word that I don't hear a lot of people use. Matter of fact, Pastor Murray and Pastor Don Elmore is the only two that I can think of that use it, and that's that word Kenite, which actually means tribe of Cain. So a lot of times I'll say Kenite Jew.
Yeah.
And then you get to the Edomites. So anyway, and Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, they speak of the imposters, those that claim of to be a Judea and are not, because there was a patriarch, Judah. He was one of those members. So I think, like Pastor Murray said, sometimes I think he gets a bad rap because of all the imposters that claim to be Jews, so to speak, but are not. Am I wrong when I say that we should try to distinguish that and point out that these people are imposters and are not one of the chosen people like most people think?
Well, I think our biggest threat is the Edomite Jew, because they were the brothers of Jacob Israel, and they look like us. They blend in with us very easily. They are the tares amongst the wheat. But amongst the Edomite Jew, who is the most dangerous, because he is actually battling for the birthright. He hasn't quit fighting for that birthright since he sold it to his brother. His descendants have constantly fought to regain that birthright, and they'll never get it. So the best they can hope for is to keep us from getting it by causing us to sin in various forms and fashion. But you're right. We have others, fellow travelers of the Edomite Jews, I believe, such as the Kenites, the descendants of Cain, who, by the way, survived the flood, which tells you something about the nature of that flood. You have the more modern Khazar Jews, who, I might be mistaken, but I think they're basically divided into Ashkenazi and Sephardic. Perhaps Brother Jason can square me away on that. But, you know, the Edomites, I think, are the major enemy, and they have a lot of fellow travelers that have joined them in the battle. I think they probably all believe that they are the inheritors of the birthright and are fighting us daily for it. They bombard us with various types of sin, you know, pornography, drug use, alcoholism, transgenderism, homosexuality. They try to normalize all these things so that we stumble and fall into sin and cause our God, Yahweh, to punish us. And hopefully they wish for us to die in our sins so that we won't receive the benefits of that our Savior has promised us. But yes, it's definitely important that we identify these imposters. They're all imposters. And none of them fulfill the prophecies of Jacob Israel. If the average Christian would just take a look at the various prophecies foretold of Jacob Israel and compare it with those imposters squatting in present-day Palestine, they would see that those people don't fulfill a single prophecy, and therefore they cannot possibly be the true chosen people of God. They are chosen, but they're chosen by their father, the devil, to cause us to stumble and fall at every opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I believe, you know, what you're saying is absolutely true. And a lot of people, when they read the Bible, when they get to the word Jew, you know, they automatically think Jews just what, you know, they see on TV. And they don't understand that when they read the Bible, Jew could mean maybe referring to, you know, those of the tribe of Judah. It could be Jews that were living in Judaism. It could be Judahites in the land. So the word Jew has definitely been a kind of broad stroke, very much all over the place. And that's why it's so important that when we're, you know, reading the Bible, and how I've always been raised, and people that I've been associated with, you know, and my father has always stressed, is a person has to really pay attention to that Abrahamic covenant, because that covenant continues on today, and it's dealing with a specific people. And our people, the white people, if you want to just terminally know the white people, have always had an inherent draw towards Jesus Christ and Christianity. They've always have had it. And the Jews that we see in today, they do not accept Jesus. They are basically Jews that have accepted what's called Babylonian Talmud. Their Bible is not the Holy Bible that we read. It's a Babylonian Talmud, and the Babylonian Talmud is specifically anti-Christ. They refer Jesus as a bastard and the son of a whore. And so when you see these modern day Christians and they uplift these Jews, they are really doing it not only a disservice to themselves, because they are uplifting, you know, the enemy of God. And so that's why it's really important people understand the racial connection to those in the Bible, the Israelites. And that's why, again, our people have always accepted Jesus Christ whenever the prophets went to Europe. It was known as Christendom. I mean, they just massive of millions of people just instantly converted to Christianity because of the fact that we had that draw towards Jesus. But more important than that, you know, if you start looking in the Bible, reading the Bible from a racial standpoint, everything God talks about is promises, about the covenant, about the identification marks of who Israel is and their descendants. It's always, those marks are always identifying those of the white race, our racial people. I mean, for example, talking about how our people will have kings and princesses, and we will be of many nations. Well, there's only been one race that has always had kings and queens and princesses and many nations, and that's always been the white race. The so-called Jews that you see over there in Israel today, I don't know what Common Core math is, but that's only one nation. And that does not mean a bunch of nations. It's only been one nation. And that's just one, if you want to look at hundreds of identification marks of the white race being part of Israel. People look at themselves as Caucasians, and we identify ourselves as Caucasians. Well, that's because our people, the white race, before they went to Europe, went through the Caucasus Mountains, the Darien Pass, and were part of the invasions from Assyria and Babylon. You know, if people read their Bible, they're talking about the seven invasions of Israel, and they were all basically captured, and they were placed into Assyria and Babylon, and that's where the lost 10 tribes of Israel went. And so those are just few of many, many things to show that that we are those same people. And so, no, you're going to have people that doubt that and may not agree with that, you know, and that's fine if they don't understand it at that point, but they should not prevent other people to be able to study that and have educational debates and stuff like that. You will never see an open debate between a Christian identity minister and some of these Judeo-Christian ministers. You'll never see it because, one, they're not educated enough, these Judeo-Christian ministers. And secondly is they don't really understand the history of our people. And that's why you'll never see those type of debates.
Okay, coming up on the top of the hour break, this is the end of the first hour. People just hang on. We'll be right back on the Saturday Blood Drip Radio program.
Yeah.